The hold was an echoing black cavern. Some trouble lights, clamped to stanchions, shone on a large oblong crate held by bungees to grommets in the very center of it. The pale yellow wood seemed to glow in the lights. One man stood before it, facing outwards. His firearm, with no more magazines to feed it, had been thrown down and kicked away to leave his feet clear. He held only his distinctive Malay sword in his hands.
No shooting, man! It might damage the goods!
Eddie Kowkow strode forward toward the man, his own curve-bladed Chinese broadsword clear of the sheath he had thrust through his belt. Around him, a dozen men from half as many countries drew steel or clubs. Eager to impress the most powerful pirate chieftain in the South China Sea, they surged past him. Eddie Kowkow frowned as four of the pirates went down. This was turning out to be an expensive operation. On the one hand, that meant more shares of the loot for the survivors. The man who faced him was taller than the others, almost as tall as Eddie himself, who stood 6 feet tall. Something about the man suggested he commanded. He was prominently balding and wore a resigned look. Eddie was not deceived. The man had cut down four of the pirates with remarkable speed. Eddie strode purposefully forward. The man turned to face him, right foot advanced. As the pirate leader drew near, he lunged. With his sword hand, he feinted a high attack, then whipped his blade down to his left, then back in a slash at Eddie's legs. Eddie stepped away with his right foot. His curved blade whistled down to meet the other's. The man launched a desperate whirlwind attack, and Eddie found himself forced to give ground. His men began to crowd near. Some even seemed poised to move in and intervene to score points with the boss. Eddie had no intention of letting that happen. This man had made him give ground. He must be seen to fall by Eddie Kowkow's hand, and his alone. A good pirate leader did not rule exclusively by fear, just mostly. The Rimba Perak commander came on again. This time, Eddie gave way deliberately. As he stepped back with his right foot, his boot slipped out from under him, as if he'd come to a patch of spilled oil. He turned to his right as he went down. The commando raised his sword and closed for the kill. Eddie Kowkow lashed out with his left leg. He was a powerful man, and it was a power shot. Both his attacker's legs were swept from beneath him. Like a tiger, Eddie sprang. As he came up, he reversed his grip on his big sword. With both hands, he thrust downward into his opponent's sternum. Eddie Kowkow leaned on the blade until it bent. The eyes glazed. The man relaxed. His head fell to the side. Eddie Kowkow straightened. He almost hated to put his boot on the dead man's chest to give him leverage to pull his weapon free. He cleared blood from the weapon by snapping it down and right. He stalked over to the crate.
Open it!
The bungee cords were quickly removed. Instead of bothering to go for pry bars, the pirates swarmed over it, wedging in their blades, levering at the lid with clubs. Inside the crate was a mass of tan, fibrous packing filler.
Clear it away!
As the packing material fell away, the top of a metal coffin was revealed. Eddie Kowkow frowned. A tip from one of his carefully suborned contacts, this one in the Sultanate of Rimba Perak, had told him this ship carried cargo valuable beyond measure. Yet this coffin was all there was.
It is a joke! If it is, then someone going to spend a long time begging to be allowed to die!
Shall we open it?
Kowkow looked at the coffin. His square, handsome face furrowed. He felt a strange sense of unease in the pit of his belly. Eddie Kowkow was not a superstitious man, but he had learned to trust his gut.
Not now! Put the packing back and seal it!
The pirates had tied a blue and white nylon rope to the taffrail to secure their boat to the bigger vessel's stern. Anya only hesitated for a moment before swinging up onto the rope feet first. It was a scary slide. The boat bobbed in a considerable swell. The rope jounced all around, threatening to smash her against the hull or simply shake her loose and drop her into the black waves to drown. The men below were preoccupied playing some kind of game in the boat.
Hey, men! Look what's coming our way!
Anya kept her legs wrapped around the line and stayed on course. Six heavily armed thugs were not going to feel threatened by a lone woman. In fact, they were probably focusing on nothing but the long legs and muscle-rounded rump descending toward them. The nylon was relatively smooth, but still tore at her palms. All she needed was for it not to tear up her hands too badly to grip. About 8 feet from the boat, the line snapped taut. Anticipating that, Anya had turned away and braced. She used the spring-like action to leap directly into the crowd. Abruptly, her reception committee got more than they had bargained for. The hard rubber cleats of one hiking shoe took one man in the chest and slammed another in his shoulder. Both went down beneath her, cushioning her landing. The man whose shoulder she struck clutched the man behind him as he fell, taking them both into the rough water in a tangle of limbs. By the time the sword was in her hands, she was as a wolf among a flock of chickens. One man got a knife cocked over his shoulder for a desperate overhand stroke, but Anya lunged and knocked him over the gunwales into the sea. His three remaining crewmates did no more than raise their hands defensively. Anya cut down two of them with fury. It was a measure of vengeance for the brave young men who had been butchered aboard the Ozymandias, and her only hope of escaping with the lone survivor.
How about you?
No!
The one remaining man, recognizing defeat, turned towards the sea. He was swallowed by the rough water almost instantly. Anya wiped her hands clean on her shirt as best she could, and trying not to fret about the blood of strangers mingling with her own in her torn-up palms, she prepared the tortuous climb back up the mooring rope. Bhima was the only survivor among all his friends. She had every intention of leaving on the small craft, but she wasn't leaving him behind.